you're going to speak about now. So, brother, come on up. And as I said in Sunday school, a man who needs no introduction here amongst us. We're glad to have Brother Josh bring us the Word of God.
Thanks, brother. All right, if you're glad to be in church, say amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. And while you're doing so, I'll just give a brief introduction of my family. This is the first time that I brought the whole crew with me. Last year I had Jacinda and our youngest Bailey. But this time we brought Peyton, who is our oldest. She's sitting right next to Jacinda. And the one who has more energy than me is McKinley over here. And he's even got more energy because he's an asthmatic and we gave him some albuterol this morning. So he is ready to fly, if you know what I mean. So that's my family. We're glad to be here. I look forward to this time of year to be here all the time. I enjoy it. I enjoy the banquet. I look forward to it and spending time with all of you. It's a highlight of my year, and I'm just honored that you would continue to have me. So, Pastor JJ, I appreciate you and your family, and we're excited to have Ethan coming to serve with us, and I believe Sarah's going to still help us out when she's not traveling the world. So I'm very, very grateful for that. Acts chapter 20, we're going to start reading verse 17, and then we'll make our way down to verse 24, and I'll kind of share with you in that verse what the title of my message will be this morning. So let's start reading together in verse number 17. I'll read aloud. You follow along. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Let me give you a little context. This is Paul traveling at the end of his third missionary journey. And so he's making his way across Macedonia. He's on his way to Jerusalem where God is sending him. But he's stopping along the way to speak to his disciples. And he specifically wants to stop at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a very important strategic stopping ground for Paul because this ended up being kind of a hub, a headquarters, if you will, for one of the churches that also sent out many people to reach the surrounding areas with the gospel. These elders could have been the 12 elders that he met when he asked them if they have heard of Jesus, and they were only baptized in John. And so these men had served with Paul, and to get a word and exhortation from Apostle Paul, they all showed up. They didn't want to miss what he had to say. So he kind of has a pit stop here in Ephesus, and he calls these elders. And in verse 18, it says, "And when they were come to him, he said to them, 'Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing.'" So through all of those tears, testings, through all of it, he's been faithful. "He kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but it showed you and it taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ," which really is the nutshell of how to get saved. This is what he's been preaching. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which befall me there, save or except that which the Holy Ghost witnesseth it in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me." Now, notice something, verse 24. "But none of these things move me." So the potential bad things that are coming my way, going down a path that I don't know the end of it, I'm not moved from staying faithful to God. None of these things move me. Look at the confidence that comes with this decision. "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." So the purpose, the calling upon my life, I want to finish it and I want to do it with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, specifically to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's his mission. That's his purpose. So this phrase where he says, "None of these things move me." Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to exhort you through the ministry of Paul and the Word of God to be an immovable Christian where you're not moved and you're not deterred by all the things that are going on in this world, but you're going to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word, for the testimony of Paul. And I pray, Lord, for us 21st century Christians, that we would have the confidence in you to be faithful and locked in with our mission to preach the gospel. I pray that we would be encouraged as disciples, Lord, today to be immovable, to continue to preach, and to finish strong. We love you. We give you all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. My sister was the first of all of us siblings to get a car when we were younger. And the car that she got was a 1983 Buick Skylark. It was a sky blue with a navy blue felt for the interior of the seats. And we loved that car. I mean, that was the car that was going to get us places, to school, to the mall, you know, wherever we wanted to go. It was a sense of freedom. That little car, that 1983 Buick Skylark. I had a 1984 Buick Century. But now when I received that car, it was beat up. It was rusting on the paint on top of the hood. In fact, I got into a rear-end collision, so it was beat up in the front. There used to be the emblem that said Century on the side, but it was missing a lot of the words, so it just said Tur. That's all it said. So that was my car, but it was special to me because it got me places. Now, with receiving older cars, sometimes there's some work that you have to put into it, and it will break down periodically. And I can't remember if it was the Skylark or it was the Century, but I remember one time we were broken down on the side of the road, and we tried to get out and move the car, but it wouldn't budge. The wheels on the rear end axle was locked up. So we all put so much effort into it, and we might have, you know, budged it a little, and it just made a divot into the gravel, but we could not move it. And we found out, and I don't understand it all, but somehow the brake system had locked the wheels up. And so that car was not going to move. It was locked in place. And in many ways, I believe that's what Paul is referring to when he's talking about, none of these things move me. I'm an unshakable, immovable person. In other words, I am locked in with my faith. So I want you to observe three things about being an immovable Christian. First of all, I want you to notice that with Paul, he was faithful in serving the Lord. He was a man known to be faithful. He comes to these elders and he speaks of his testimony and he talks about all the things that he's experienced, and they were well aware of it because he says, hey, you know, you knew the manner of life that I had, how I was faithful in serving and teaching and preaching. You knew it all. So he breaks down that he was faithful, first of all, in his testimony. Now, notice with me the things that they did know about his testimony. First of all, he was faithful in his attitude. He says, I had a humility of mind. That means he had the disposition of a servant. Now, all preachers are called ministers of the gospel. To be a minister means to serve. You are a servant. Now, I know a lot of preachers, though, they have the title of servant, but they don't act like a servant. In fact, they act like lords, and they lord over people. But God says his followers, his ministers, would be known as servants. And Paul says, hey, listen, not only that I have the title of a servant or the position of a servant, but you know that I also have the disposition to be a servant. So a faithful Christian is one that's going to have an attitude of humility. That's the testimony he had, and that's the testimony each and every one of his followers should have. So his testimony was that he was faithful in his attitude. He was also faithful through the tears. Hey, living the Christian life has a lot of struggles. But there's no difference between us and the unsaved person other than the fact that we are believers. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. You know why? Because life is hard. We're all under the curse of sin. Nobody's been exempted from the problems. And if you receive Jesus Christ and you got saved, you realize pretty quickly that life was still hard because you still live in this body of the sins of the flesh. There's a lot of tears to shed. There's a lot of tears to shed when it comes to working with people and getting them the gospel so that they can know God and be saved. There's a lot of tears to shed. And he was faithful through it all. Faithful through the hard times. Notice me, he was faithful in the testings. He says, you've also seen me how I responded to the temptations. Now, the word temptations would also mean testings, provings. That's what that refers to. And he was being tested by certain people that came to attack him. Specifically, it was the Jews who were antithetical to the true gospel. You know, Paul preached by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. And the Jews would come along and they'd say, well, yeah, you can be saved, but you also need to be circumcised, and you also need to follow the law, and you need to compile all these ordinances on top of your faith. Oh, yeah, it's Jesus, but, well, it's all this as well. And Paul says, that's not the gospel, that's some other gospel, and it's an anathema to me. That's not the true word of God. And so these Jews were in constant conflict with Paul. And they were out to get him. Specifically, lying awake means they were looking for an opportunity to murder him. And through those testings, he remained faithful. Hey, the longer you live, the Bible says, all that are godly will suffer persecution. Hey, listen, you're going to take a stand for God in the 21st century that we live in? Hey, you're going to suffer some persecution. You're going to have some people that are going to be resistant to the Word of God. And you know what God wants you to do through it all? He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be unshakable. He wants you to be locked in with Jesus Christ. Hey, he was faithful in his testimony. He was faithful to continue to teach. He says, now listen, my manner of life, my ministry was to give you the one needful thing that you need in your life. And the one needful thing is you need the Word of God to be publicly and privately explained to you. Because the Bible is the Word of God. Hey, this is the one book that is called alive. And the Word of God can quicken. It can make you alive. This is God's holy Word. Everything that you want to know about God, everything that God wants you to know about yourself is found in the Bible. And so a faithful preacher, a faithful pastor, is one who's going to give you the real food, the real manna, which is the Word of God. And praise the Lord, you have a pastor that wants to know the Bible and preach the Word of God. And I hope that I also arrive to that calling as well, that I'm going to give you the truth. Because that's the one needful thing. And Paul says, hey, listen, I've been faithful to teach you the what you need. You need the Word of God. I didn't come in and give you an exercise program and help get your body in shape. I didn't come in and bring in all these philosophies that you're hearing about throughout Rome. I came to give you something that's way better. It's the Word of God. Hey, he was faithful to teach. In fact, the Bible says in chapter 19, verse 20, the Word of God grew mightily. You know what the life is where the Word of God grows mightily? Miracles. In the town of Ephesus, Paul came in and there were sorceries and there was this big idol industry. And he came in and he preached and he was able to do miracles. And the whole town turned upside down. But the Bible describes it as a place where the Word of God grew mightily. Hey, I don't know about you, but I still believe in miracles. And I believe in the miracle that we can still experience a spiritual moving of God today, even here in Salina. Do you believe that? Boy, I hope so. I hope you're not just looking on the internet and seeing what's going on over in Kentucky and all these places where they're saying there's revival. Hey, it can happen in your life today. And he was faithful to teach him the Word of God. He was faithful to testify. Here is the truth encapsulated right here in this verse where he says, I have testified to all people, Jews, Greeks, doesn't matter your background. I came to give you the same word, and that was the gospel. And the gospel summarized is repentance and faith, which is two sides of the same coin. Now, there are some people that like to overemphasize repentance, which is all about having a change of mind, which gives you a change in direction. And then there's the faith aspect. And so this is where you believe in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, it's one and the same. They're both two sides of the same coin. When you repent, you're believing. When you're believing, you're repenting. And that's what Paul testified. You want to know God? You want to come to God? You want to be saved? Hey, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, that's testifying. So Paul says, I am unshakable. So Paul's saying there's things that are around him that are trying to move him, to get him off his course, to get him off track. And he says, I will refuse to give in to being faithful. So you want to know the life that you ought to live today? It ought to be like this. It ought to be faithful. You need to be getting in the book. You need to be sharing the gospel with lost people. Hey, you need to have a good testimony where you live. That's a mark of faithfulness. Hey, he was immovable by being faithful in serving. Number two, he was fastened to the Spirit. Now, this is what he says. He says, I now go bound in the Spirit. To be bound means to be fastened. It means to be chained to the Spirit. Now, he says, I go bound in the Spirit not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that which the Holy Ghost witnesseth. Now, the word for spirit, for both Holy Spirit and this spirit, is pneuma. Now, we have a spirit. When we get saved, we receive God's spirit. So the question may come, is he being led of God's spirit or his spirit? And I would say, well, yes. When you get saved, you are filled with the Spirit of God. He possessed you. But every day you need to be filled with the Spirit, meaning you need to be yielded to God's leading in your life. So when you are saved, your spirit is now in line with God's. So I think it's one and the same. He was fastened in the Spirit. Hey, we're to be led of the Spirit, not of the flesh. They are contrary lives. Now you say, well, what's a life look like that's being led of the Spirit? Well, let me give you a little synopsis here. Watch this, okay? You ready? Listen, you're getting some meat today. As my pastor would say, get your steak knives out. We're going to eat some good spiritual food. Go to chapter 18, just a couple pages back. Chapter 18, I want you to see what took place in the town of Corinth when he was doing ministry there. Chapter 18, look at verse number 5. He says, but when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed or compelled in the Spirit. So there came a time when he was doing ministry and he needed some assistance and he needed to back off his secondary job. God sent him some help. He was helping him understand that now's the time to go all in. And God was moving upon him to give the gospel out to people. Go with me to chapter 19 now. Now he's in the town of Ephesus. And look at this in verse number 21. He says, I got a new Bible here. Hold on one second. 19, verse 21. He says, after these things were ended, okay, the ministry there in Ephesus, Paul purposed in the Spirit, which was to do what? Well, in summary, God was compelling on him to help him make a decision where he would purpose in his heart, purpose in the Spirit, to go to Jerusalem. All right, do you see the progression of what goes on here? Now we're in verse 20, 22 of chapter 20. Okay, so go back to chapter 20. And verse 21 says, I go bound in the Spirit. So the progression comes where God's moving upon him. He's making decisions for himself with God's approval to the point where he will refuse to back off of what God wants. The more you yield to God, the more you'll be moved by God, the more you will refuse to be moved away from God. That is being led of the Spirit. Now, what does that also imply? So notice with me three things about being fastened to the Spirit. Number one, if you're fastened to the Spirit, you are unmoved by your flesh. It's impossible. The Bible's really clear that there's a certain life and there's certain outcomes when being led of the flesh. And it's got all kinds of problems. You know, you have murders, adulteries, fornications, wrath, anger. I mean, this is the life that you do not want. It produces bad fruit. On the flip side, completely 180, is the life of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, the outcome of this life is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So there's two lives every day that you have a choice. This is the old life where you're being led of your flesh, or you give into the new life, which is being led of God. The Bible says these two lives are contrary one to the other. You cannot do the things that you want to do when you're being moved by both. You either give into God or you give into your flesh. It's a choice every day. And they have totally different outcomes. So the Bible says if you're led of the Spirit, you will not give in to the lust of the flesh. So are you struggling with sin today? Do you have some addictions in your life? Hey, listen, nobody's perfect in this room. All right, there are moments in our lives where we all struggle. But the life that's yielded to God will get strong. He'll get strong spiritually and strong in his faith. And he will not want to give in to his flesh. So a person who is led of the Spirit is not moved by the flesh. A person who is led of the Spirit is unmoved by fears. Go again, look at verse 22. He says, I go to Jerusalem not knowing the things which befall me. You know what that means? It's called uncertainties. You know, there's a path that I'm following, and I can see the road, but I don't know what's going on down the road. In fact, there's a storm coming through, and it's raining, and I only see half of the road. I mean, there's some uncertainties. Typically, for most of us that are human beings, we don't like uncertainties. We tend to give in to our fears. And when God says, hey, take a step of faith, hey, take a risk in me, we tend to resist that because we don't like getting out of our comfort zone. But the Bible is really clear. If you give into your fears, you will handicap yourself spiritually. You will paralyze your faith. You cannot give into fears. I remember visiting my family in California when I was a teenage boy. I used to stay with my aunt and uncle. And we used to do a family camp up in Yosemite. One time we went up to Yosemite and we had set our tents. And my buddy Tommy says, hey, Josh, we're going to go swimming over at this lake that was really popular where a lot of campers would go and swim. And I said, oh, that sounds exciting. He said, oh, he says, man, they got this big cliff where everybody jumps off. He's like, I don't know, 20, 25 feet. He says, it's so much fun. And he described what it was like to jump off this cliff. And I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. I would love to go swimming. He said, well, we'll go tomorrow. So all day we're talking about going swimming at this lake, jumping off the cliff. Then the next day arrived, we got up early. We started driving over to the lake, and of course, we're still talking about what it's going to be like to jump off this cliff and to go swimming in this awesome lake up in Yosemite. And so we finally get there, and of course, there was already a big crowd swimming. And so we park, and we go over to the lake, and then he shows me on the other side. He goes, oh, look, there's the cliff I was telling you about. And I look at it, and I said, oh, man, that's amazing. People were already jumping off, having a good old time. He said, come on, let's go. So we go around the lake. We start climbing up to the cliff. By the time we get to the top, I mean, Tommy was ready to go. Takes off his shirt, takes off his shoes, and he jumps right on up. And so I'm right behind him trying to catch up. You know, I'm unbuttoning. I'm trying to get my shoes. I get to the edge of the cliff, and I look down, and I said, whoa, that does not look the same up here as it did down there. And I stood there paralyzed, and I couldn't do it. So I backed up a little bit. Little kids were already going by, jumping off the cliff. They did it like 3 or 4 times. And I'm sitting there stuck on top of this cliff. Let me tell you, I stayed there for like 2 hours. I never once jumped. It was the worst afternoon of my very short life. I never forgot it. And I completely regretted giving in to my fears. Hey, listen, when you're moved by the Spirit of God, when you are chained to Him, fears are not obsolete. But God gives you the strength to face them. And you will endure and persevere through whatever circumstance comes your way. Hey, that's being unmoved. So when you are fastened by the Spirit, you're unmoved by your flesh, you're unmoved by your fears, you're also unmoved by the future. So there were some things that he did not know. Right? I'm going down this path. I don't know what's going to happen by the time I get to Jerusalem. But there were some things that God clearly told him would happen. You know what that was? The Holy Spirit told Paul, either directly by revelation, but also confirmed or reaffirmed by multiple disciples, that once he gets to Jerusalem, he was going to go to prison. They were going to put some chains on him. And he would be in confinement, which would, what we know, took him all the way to Rome. You're talking about many years in jail. God says, Paul, I want you to go to Jerusalem. You're going to go to jail. And this was a big debate with all the disciples. Was this the right decision then to go to Jerusalem? To go to jail? Notice with me what takes place in chapter 21. Go with me to chapter 21. And look at verse number 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. All right, so now they have arrived in Israel. Okay, so they're really close to their destination. And when we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7 and abode with him, and the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. All right, they preached apparently. So that's a lot of women preachers right there. I don't know how I would handle that. Verse number 10. And when we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. So he had revelation from God. He says, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So Agabus comes from a word of God, gives him what's going to take place. He gives him the information. Now look at the response. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place. So in other words, everybody was on the same page when it came to responding. We besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And that's an elevation, by the way. Not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when we would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. So think about this. This is a big debate with some Christians. Some would say Paul was resisting the Holy Spirit of God. He shouldn't have gone. Clearly they told him, you're going to go to jail, you shouldn't have gone. And Paul says, no, I'm going to go. Was Paul being resistant to God and just going to do his own thing anyway? No, listen, the truth of the matter is that God gave a word. And it was the same word both to Paul and to all of the other disciples. It was the same message. It's as if we're reading the Bible and I'm telling you what the Bible says and you're listening and making a conclusion yourself. We're all getting the word of God. But there's a lot of people that read the Bible and they come up with different conclusions and different interpretations. But it's still the same word. So then the question was Paul right and they were wrong, or was it vice versa? Well, I believe Paul was in the right. This is what Paul was saying. Hey, listen, just because things might get bad doesn't mean we should stop. We need to keep moving forward for the Lord. And that's the same conclusion that we all need to make. You say, John, how do you know that's the case? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I do know what the end's going to be. You know what the end's supposed to be? The Bible says we are entering in perilous days. The end of the age, just before the tribulation, it's going to wax worse and worse. That's the future that's coming. Now, after the tribulation, it's going to be total victory. So my faith is in the one who wins, which is the Lord Jesus, who will restore order into this chaotic world. But just because things are going to get bad does not mean we should stop doing our job. We should continue to be faithful to the Lord, keep preaching the gospel, and being immovable in this life. And the only way that we can do that is if we're fastened by the Spirit. Hey, be led of God and not of ourselves. Because if we're led of ourselves, we might make the same conclusion which most people make when they're fearful, is to give up and turn back. That's not the message God is sending to us today. We should press on. We should double down in our faith. So Paul was immovable because he was faithful in serving. He was fastened to the Spirit. Notice me lastly, he was immovable. And when you're immovable, you will finish strong. Our concluding verse is verse number 24. Says, but none of these things move me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. Hey, don't you want to know God's purpose for your life? Don't you want to fulfill that calling? Not only do you want to fulfill that calling, but don't you want to do it with some joy and a smile on your face? Hey, I know a lot of Christians that God's told them what to do and they're doing their job and they're miserable. They're not happy individuals. Paul says, hey, I don't want to live that life. I don't want to just get by. I don't want just an 8-to-5 type mentality. I'm all in. And I will embrace what God wants me to do. Hey, that's finishing your course with joy. So if I'm going to finish strong for God, I better focus on the goal. I better know what He wants of me. And the only way that you'll do that is if you dig deep and understand His Word. Okay, this is God's book. And God wants you to know what He has to say. He doesn't want you to be clueless. He doesn't want you to be confused. He wants you to be confident in the Spirit. So you got to focus on the goal. But if you're going to finish strong, you need to also focus on the gospel of grace. See, that's what salvation's all about. Salvation's all about Jesus. It's not about you. You didn't earn anything to get favor from God. The Bible's pretty clear. Doesn't matter your background, your pedigree. We are all sinners by nature. It's something that we all got from our forefather, Adam. It's been passed down to every man. We were born in sin. We commit sin. The Bible's very clear. There's none righteous, no, not even one. So it didn't matter where you come from. We all come to God by His grace. And Paul not only focused on talking about grace for salvation, he says, man, I live by God's grace. How is it I'm going to be able to go down a hard road? I need God's grace in my life. God's grace is what I want to live by. God's grace, you know what it is? It's His power for you to do His will. That's what grace is. Unmerited, unfavored, it's all God, all Him, all power given to you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that God's given you everything that you need? He's given you Himself. So even though the fact that there may be hard days coming ahead, hey man, we could be immovable and we could be full of joy. We could be a rock in a storm because we have God's grace. Hey friends, we need God's grace, do we not? About a month ago, I went to a funeral, very difficult one. It was for a baby. It was the baby of a good dear friend of mine. His name's Daniel Ward. He's a pastor in Bonner Springs area at Elm Grove Baptist Church. They have one child, but they've always had complications to have a baby. She had a difficult time getting pregnant. Well, finally she was able to get pregnant, and they were so overjoyed. In the middle of the pregnancy, though, they discovered that there were some complications on the development side of the fetus. So the doctor says, it looks like your baby has this particular disease, which I can't remember what they classified it, but apparently it was a genetic disorder that comes from the family, and it would impede development. So they were made aware of this in the middle of the pregnancy, and the conclusion was is that she would still have to carry the baby. Statistics say that if your baby has this, the baby typically does not survive through the pregnancy. If they are born, statistically, they die very quickly. So there's not much hope for a baby that's diagnosed with this particular genetic disorder. So they were told this information, and you can only imagine what kind of an emotional response that would be. Because from that moment, from that day forward, it was a battle. Every morning they woke up to find out, is the baby still kicking? So every day it was, hey, is this baby still alive? Well, thankfully the baby remained alive all the way up until birth. They found a Facebook community group of children that have this particular rare disorder. And they found that, amazingly, there was one that made it to 4 years of age, which is rare, very rare. It's rare to even have a baby that's got the disorder. But by God's grace, she was able to have the baby. Of course, when it was born, the arms were not developed, and more importantly, the lungs were not developed. So immediately she had surgeries and she had complications. So every day was a battle. Is the baby going to survive? The baby survived an incredible length of 11 days, and then she breathed her last breath. So I walk into the church for this funeral. I was well aware of what was taking place. I remembered as I'm walking into the church building the time that I met Daniel for breakfast, and he was telling me their story, and I was moved by the fact that he was very confident. He embraced this. You know, when the world says you should just go ahead and abort that thing and get it out of you, they said, no, God has a purpose for this child. We will carry this baby all the way through. I was moved by the faith of this family. I go into the church and I walk towards the front and I see on the communion table the casket. I've never seen a baby casket like that. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've conducted a few funerals. I don't think I've ever had or been a part of a funeral where I saw a baby casket. It really rips your heart out. So we start the service and they show images of the baby, you know, in the hospital. The baby, it was a really beautiful, cute little baby. And then the preacher was going to give up and give a message. And you know who gave the message? Daniel did. I couldn't believe it. This father preached a gospel message of hope in the midst of his tears, in the midst of his testings and hardships. He was telling everybody in that room, hey, God's got a purpose for you, and he preached the gospel of grace. It's amazing. At that moment, he was unshakable and immovable. Even though they had the fears, they didn't know the future, but at that moment, God was alive in their life. You know what, friends? God wants to do the same thing for you. And he can empower you to have that kind of faith and that type of grit to stay with God. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time to be together. As we enter into this moment of invitation to respond to the Word of God, I pray that you would help us to have an open heart. Lord, if there's particular sins that we need to deal with, I pray that we would be quick to do so. If someone's here that does not know you, they've never come to a point of salvation, I pray that today would be the day they get saved. It would be very sad to see someone leave this church after having the Word preached where they didn't respond to you. I pray for all of us now, Lord, that we would pray to you privately in our hearts, do business in this invitation moment. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, in a spirit of prayer, friends, let me ask you, are you here today and you don't know Christ? Listen, I want to pray for you. I want to help you. If you would, just acknowledge with a slip of your hand up in the air, and you could tell me, say, I don't know if I'm saved, Josh. Pray for me. If you would do that, just slip up your hand. Is there anybody like that here this morning? Josh, I don't know if I'm saved. All right, I didn't see any hands. So, the believer, what is the Lord exhorting you today? Listen, this is Paul preaching to believers. He's preaching to the elders. And he's telling you today, he wants you to be immovable. He wants you to have that testimony of faithfulness, getting into the Word of God, being faithful to share the gospel with lost people. Hey, maybe in some of those areas, you need to get right. You need to get back on track. I mean, if you haven't read your Bible in a while, hey, today's the day to start a Bible reading plan. Hey, if it's been a while since you shared the gospel with somebody, hey, you need to start giving out a track. Hey, listen, we need to see people come to Christ. This is not a time for fainting. This is a time to share the light of the truth. Hey, is God speaking to you about that? Hey, maybe you're wrestling with some things in your flesh. Hey, God says, hey, listen, stop giving in to that. Hey, you need to be led of me. You need to be yielded to me. Maybe that's something you need to talk to God about. Hey, maybe you're trying to figure out your course. You're trying to figure out what God wants you to do. Hey, cry out to him. Say, God, reveal to me, show me, what do you want me to do? Because I want to do your will, and I want to do it with joy. The Lord's speaking to you in some way. I invite you to pray and to do business with him. Just take a moment in this quietness, pray, and then Tyler will come up, and he'll sing a song with us. Heaven, we thank you for the time to worship. We're thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done on the cross and that he's resurrected, and that we can have life. I pray that you would, Lord, strengthen us, this church, our ministry at the camp, to be immovable. We pray that you get all the glory. And God's people said,